When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king. Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power up on high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. In the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and light. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king. No king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but Yehoshua, the Holy One of Israel.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry about that. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm your host, Pastor and Commander Dan. Today is the 21st day of March, year 2018, and we've entitled today's program, Formed by the Word of Yahweh. Our guests tonight are Patricia Aiken from Nevada and our good friend Ted Midward is standing by, and he, of course, has his own program here on Eurofolk Radio, A Stranger in My Own Land. Before we get into the meat of the matter, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. From Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it will be in the last days, says Elohim, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Seems to be happening to a lot of us. The folks over there in my homeland of Wales, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Also, I want to remind everybody, there's so much going on right now. I do hear from folks from time to time that their inboxes are being flooded, so I'm trying to cut back. I would highly recommend that you check on the website, PastorDan.net. From time to time, and especially on the Daily Mail page, I will update that with any hot news items. And the other pages, of course, get updated as I get information about health or general identity material that's there or verifications, etc. Uploading of programs, of course, on the archives pages. Again, that is www.pastordan.net. For our supporters out there, a shout out and a thank you very much for that. We do know that the verse says that the whole world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. I would remind you that the dictionary definition of that is readily perceived by the senses and especially the sense of sight. So do you think the whole world's waiting for the Israelite men to decide it's time to fix what's going on and stop looking for the, quote, deep state to fix itself, or the political apparatus to fix itself, or the corruption in the swamp to just pick up their bags and leave town? Or is it up to the sons and daughters of the Most High to fix this problem? Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8, blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh, and whose trust Yahweh is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, who spreads out its roots by the river, and shall not fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or worried in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. These are all idiomatic expressions in the Aramaic and ancient Hebrew talking about a tree planted by the waters is talking about us. When you're planted in the truth, when you're planted in Yahweh's law and righteous living, you're like a tree planted by a river that has plenty of water. And you need not fear when the heat comes. Can we say fear porn? Which is exactly what we're being bombarded with on a daily basis. But I wanted to have Patricia particularly join me here today to talk about some things that on the positive side for our people. And then, of course, Ted has agreed to be in the shotgun seat and join us with that. And at some point, Patricia, if you have to jump off for some reason, then Ted and I will continue with a slightly different conversation. But welcome to the program, Patricia, and welcome to the program, Ted.
Thank you, Dan.
Absolutely. Excellent.
Nice to be here.
Yep.
Hi, Ted. We haven't met. Nice to be on with you this evening.
Yes. Good evening, Dan and Patricia. Good evening.
All right, Ted. Thanks. But anyway, again, I named it the title that I picked anyway. I named it that for the verses that talk about how the world was formed and that the word of Yahweh was with us from the beginning. And I want people to understand something. The Greek word logos, that this word is translated from, it's where we get our word logic. In the Greek language, it's L-O-G-O-S, logos. And it's the spoken word, but it also, it comes from the idea that there's intelligence behind it, which, of course, when a person speaks words, he has to form those words. And again, that's where we get our word logic. So when it says that Yahweh, the word was with Yahweh and Yahweh was the word, it's not talking about the Bible. So many of these modern day preachers, every time you hear the word or see the word word in the Bible, they'll hold up a leather bound Bible and wave it around as if that's what this scripture is talking about. The Bible did not exist when these words were penned. All right. They didn't exist in the Old Testament times. It did not exist in the New Testament times. This word was talking about logic. It was talking about the spoken word. In today's language, you could even use the word plan. The plan was from the beginning, and the plan was Yahweh. Do you see what I'm saying? The plan. We're part of a plan, people. This is all a planned out series of events. We're all part of this play that's being on the stage, so to speak. And we're sitting around biting our nails about the New World Order when I think we've got it ass backwards. I think we should be looking at what do we need to be doing, and that's where I want to go tonight with Patricia. What do we need to be doing as his sons and daughters and stop all this sitting around giving so much power and concern to the insignificant Zionist, Khazars, cabal, whatever name you choose to give these cretins that walk around with these diabolical notions out there, liars to the 10th degree, why don't we focus more on what's positive out there and what we can do to take this world and make it what Father intended, and just ignore these lying bastards out here that are nothing but devils in shoe leather. Does that sound about right, Patricia, or not?
Well, yeah, I can agree with all of that, Dan. You know, and I really think when we do, well, we focus on expands, and that's where they've really got us. I think that we focus on everything that's going on, and that just expands their power. I think we need to change this up a little bit. And recently, I've had some really unusual experience, and I've been having these experiences for years, where you know, I just get these downloads, if you will, about things, and they've really been amazing. And lately, it's really the intersection for some more of this type of stuff. I've been in the thick of it again, and so we had a conversation about it a little bit this morning. So I may, if you may not be able to get a word in edgewise once I get started on this. I'm warning you. I'm pretty excited.
Well, you know, we get inundated on a daily basis with all the negativity, especially when you're talking about these nefarious Jews and their diabolical scheming and plotting, which is never ending. And at times I'm getting a lot of feedback from different listeners and friends and all that it can be overpowering, and you can even become what Doc Waterman referred to as war weary. And we've got some of our watchmen here, like Pastor Steve and Pastor Eli and many of the other EFR folks here, and it's pretty evident that those of us have been on the walls screaming and yelling for decades now. I think Steve has been doing it for over three decades now. You know, we do get a bit war weary, you know, and we need to think about what Christ told the disciples, and that is where we get the whole idea about mentoring and discipleship and fellowship. It's to build each other up and reinforce the positive so that we can go do battle with the beast. And that's what I think you've got.
Some of the battle is with ourselves too. You know, we really have to get out of our own way, and so some of these modalities, if you will, that I've come across have been like life changing, not only for me but for other people. I can't get over some of the things that I started out with a modality called Theophostics. It's a stupid name for a really cool thing that gives people a transformative experience. I've seen it do just amazing things. In my own life, before I did it, I had the experience just, if you just sovereignly, if you'd say that, it just kind of happened. I was in a situation, perhaps asked the right questions or whatever, and I was transformed. I was thinking, no, I never felt like I was enough. And so when after my mom and dad died, after my dad died, every morning when I'd wake up, I would be having this thought in my head, and you know, about something that happened in my childhood, and before I woke up, the Holy Spirit or my higher self or whoever you want to call that would speak to me about it, and I was like set free of it. It was amazing. This went on for about 10 days, and I would have to get up and look at my feet to make sure they were on the floor. I was so unburdened about so many things. And I'll just give you, for instance, in little things that parents do sometimes, and they don't know, they're doing their best, but it just wounds a child's heart in so many ways. You know, I would come home with all A's on my report card and one B, and they couldn't rejoice in the all A's. They would say, okay, well, nice carpet, let's get that B up. You know, it was like never enough. It would just crush me. And so those were some of the things that happened during that time. And then I bumped into some folks. They called me that I knew from California. I was still living in Maui at the time. And they told me about this Theophostics things. And when they described it, I go, oh, well, that's like what I've been through. I didn't know that you could facilitate that for someone. I thought it was just something that happened when it was supposed to happen. And so I went through that training, and, man, I would see people just transformed. And I'll give you one experience. There was a woman, and she said she always felt a disconnect with her father. She could never really relate. The two of them just couldn't relate. And so when she did her first session with someone, what came out is that her father punched her mother in the abdomen when she was like 8 months pregnant with her. Well, that would create a disconnect. Yeah, that would. And the mother actually started to have a miscarriage. So the next thing she sees is her mother laying on the bed. The first thing she saw was her mother laying on the bed with blood running down her legs and stuff. And so she says, oh, this is too weird. This is too weird. And so she went and called her mom and said, did that really happen? She says, yes, your father punched me when I was 8 months pregnant and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And how that got set free of all that was just a real crazy thing. I mean, it was remarkable to see how unburdened she was after that. And so that was one interesting modality that I got into. And then later, I was here in Las Vegas, and I had a really busy month. I mean, I had house guests, and what I was doing for work at the time was really busy. But I had arranged to trade services with a naturopath. And I had done my part, and so she was going to do hers. So it was a Friday afternoon, and I'm like, oh, why do I leave on a Friday afternoon? The traffic is insane here on Friday afternoons. And I said, my back was just killing me. I said, yeah, I really should be going for an adjustment, not to see a naturopath. But I went, you know, because I'd agreed to. And she, you know, did a little intake on me. And then when I laid down there on the table, she never even touched me. She does really interesting energy work. She said, wow, you've got an abandonment streak a mile wide. And I go, oh, yeah, I know what that's about. You know, from a situation with the love of my life and blah, 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 I knew. And she kind of knew my story. So she said, yeah, but that wasn't all your fault, Patricia. And I go, yeah, I know that, but that's not where we live. We don't live in our rational mind. That's not where we live. And that's probably the thing I learned most from Theosophics, that there are two rooms. One room has the light on. That's our conscious, you know, mind. And then there's that room with the lights not on. That's where we really live, and that's where scary stuff still hangs out and stuff. Until we can go over there and turn the light on and see it for what it really is, you know. And that's what Theosophics does. So I knew what she was saying, but so I said, yeah, that's fine. And so she kind of did some stuff, man. And I got up off that table like I had the best adjustment of my life. My back was perfect. I went, wow, that's really cool. So in the meantime, I'd had this client who I was in the oral chelation product business at the time, and he'd done really well on this product. I mean, it lowered his blood sugar. I mean, it helped his diabetes, helped his everything improved. And so his wife got diagnosed with a heart issue, and he called me up, and I said, well, you know where I am. Come on over. I got some for you. Well, he didn't come over, and then I heard that they actually went to the Philippines to have stem cell treatments. And stem cell stuff is way cool. But his wife died. Turns out she had 95% blockages. Her heart was double its size. And he was just devastated. As a matter of fact, later on, fast forward the story, he said he could barely stand to look at me because he felt so guilty every time he looked at me. Because he felt like if he'd just come over and got the stuff like I said, she'd have been fine. He would have cleared that all up and she'd have been fine. And so when I saw him, he kept saying to me every time I'd see him or he'd call me, he'd say, do you know how to muscle test? And I go, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. Yeah, come on over. And he kept asking me, but he'd say he was going to come over, wouldn't come over. Finally, I said, okay, I know how to fix this. I had a car that was like a rolling oil spill at the time, and he had some stuff that cleaned up the floor, you know, that you could clean the garage floor with that was enzyme-based, I think. And so I said, hey, do you still have that stuff? You know, can you help me with this? Oh, so he came right over. And afterwards, I was going to, you know, talk with him because I was going to do some Theosophics for him. And he got a phone call. He said, well, I'll be back in a couple of nights. And I go, okay. So he came back on a Thursday night, but he left something on my kitchen counter, and it was this chart. And I didn't know what it was. So I said, Del, what's this? And he says, oh, that's the emotion code by Dr. Bradley Nelson. And I go, oh, well, how does it work? Well, that's what I need you to muscle test me for. So he explained, you know, how to do it, and I did it, and it was pretty amazing. And the first thing came up for him was grief, and the second thing that came up for him was guilt. And so we cleared it, and he felt better. So I said, do me. And I, you know, put my arm up for him to muscle test me. And he said, the first thing that came up for me was abandonment. But he didn't have the confidence to clear it. And I go, that's okay. Rome wasn't built in a day. No problem. We'll check it out later. And I said, wow, that's what my friend Michelle just said. So that Sunday morning rolled around, and I got up out of bed, and I said, you know, I'm just going to go to YouTube University and look this guy up because I bet I can find him there. So I see him, Dr. Bradley Nelson, doing the emotion code, and I said, well, I can do this myself because I did other things. I did Reiki and different things like that, so I can do this. And so I went in my office and sat in this particular chair, and I did it, and the first thing that came up was abandonment, and the second thing that came up was betrayal. And I go, oh, yeah, that was the 1-2 punch. So I cleared it, and it's very simple how you clear it, and I cleared it. And, man, I felt like I needed a nap. And remember, I had just gotten out of bed. And I went and I slept for like 2 hours in a death sleep. It was like I was in a coma for 2 hours. I was having an energetic detox, you know, whatever. And when I woke up, I was a completely different person. The grass was greener. The sky was bluer. I mean, I was just like connected with everything again. I mean, I was like, wow, that was really powerful. And so I continued to learn how to do that. And I would do it with when chiropractors would call, because that was my main market that I dealt with. I remember a lady in Texas called one day, and I said, hey, how's your feet? And she said, well, right now the pain is a 2. And she said, but when I stand up, it's going to be a 10. And I said, well, hey, do you want to do some energy work? Because, you know, I'm practicing. She goes, sure. And so we did it for a little while, maybe 15 minutes. We cleared, you know, some stuff. And she said, Patricia, I got to go. My afternoon patients are here. And I go, all right, well, let me know how that goes. And so she didn't call me back that week. So I called her a week later. And I said, hey, what happened? How's the pain in your feet? And she said, oh, it continued to improve that entire day till it was gone by the end of the day, and it hasn't been back since. And that's been about 5 years now. Gone. Just gone. So the thing with emotion code is that what Bradley Nelson realized, well, first of all, nobody grows up with Ozzie and Harriet. You know, I call these the barnacles of life. I mean, stuff happens. We get bumps and bruises and things. But he says he thought that pain, people's, you know, physical pain, he figured about 30% of it was emotional. Well, when he got the download for the emotion code and the body code, he realized that, oh, no, it was about 85%. 85%. And so he started doing it, and people, you know, had remarkable results. And so I started doing this with more people, and it was just crazy. I remember I worked with one doctor, and I got to the point, and he's one of the most accomplished people I've ever spoken to. As a matter of fact, before he was a doc, he was a helicopter pilot. I mean, he's got alphabet soup after his name. Highly accomplished. And I got to the place where the emotion code said he had insecurity, and I'm going like, no, I can't even say this. And then I kept saying no, and says, well, do we know need to know when this, you know, more about this? Yes. Well, when did it happen? Well, it came down age 7. So that means it could either be age 6 or age 7 or age 8. It could be a year before or after. And so after I cleared, he goes, wow, I felt that go. And then after the session, he told me, you know, he said, I was born with a hunched back, and the children teased me rather mercilessly, and it wasn't surgically corrected until I was 7. And I went, wow, here I didn't even want to say that. Another time, some friends called me, and they said, hey, can you work with his daughter? And I said, sure. She was about, you know, 25 or 26 at the time, I guess. And so they started to tell me about her, and I said, oh, no, don't tell me anything. I don't want to be influenced. I just want to, you know, let this, you know, work. And so and every time I'd say, oh, do we need to know more about this? Yes. She was kind of resistant to the process. And we'd go, oh, yeah, that's when my folks got divorced. Oh, yeah, I know what happened then. I broke up with my boyfriend. Oh, I know what happened. You know, she just knew what everything was. And so it was funny, after we hung up the phone, she ran downstairs and said to them, did you tell her about me? See, our bodies always want to be coherent. And when it has these trapped negative emotions, what it does, it creates a distortion in the electromagnetic field around us, and keeps us from being self-healing the way we were designed to be by the Creator. So I'm always looking for new modalities. Not really looking, but I'm always open to new stuff. And that's what we talked about there's a chiropractor by the name of Joe Dispenza. And he had a remarkable, remarkable story. And so I've really been researching his work. I've read all of his books. And, you know, the latest one was probably the best in my mind. But you can see him on YouTube. I would go to Joe Dispenza 2015 and watch his story, watch him tell the story himself. He was an East Coast guy, went to Rutgers, I'd say like a Lombard Italian, you know, blonde, you know, bear, and went to a chiropractic school somewhere in Florida. And then he moved to San Diego, had a happening chiropractic practice, martial arts dojo, and a yoga studio. So life was good, and he was a little type A, as you may imagine. And he was competing in a triathlon one weekend in Palm Springs. And he got out of the water up the swim portion, got on his bike, and was trying to catch up with these two riders that were in front of him. And there was a police officer there, and he was waving him on, like, come on, come on, come on. So we went. Well, either the cop wasn't paying attention or the elderly woman driving the Bronco SUV, because he got run over. And he managed to grab the bumper, and he got dragged for about, you know, 20 more yards, and then her reflexes kicked in, and she slammed on the brakes, and so he went rolling and stuff. So he could tell this wasn't going to be just a strain or a sprain. I mean, he could feel the blood pooling in his back already. So they get him to the hospital, and they tell him that he has about 6 crushed vertebrae, a broken neural arch. Some of the vertebrae was sticking into his spine, his spinal cord, and, you know, he was a mess. And as a matter of fact, in the morning, they'd have to come in and spritz the sheets with water to peel the sheets off the road rash. I mean, he was messed up. And the prognosis was a steel rod in his back, a lifetime of pain meds, and a wheelchair. And so he got his friends to take him home, and the people are like freaked out and freaked. His friends are going, oh, man, I know you'll make the right decision on what to do. And they have to do that surgery in the first 4 days of the injury. Otherwise, they're going to have to go in not only from your back but also from the front. And they kind of shave off that. Oh, it's just a really, I mean, barbarous, you know, surgery in my mind, Harrington rod surgery. Well, something in him didn't sit right. It just didn't sit right. You know, he's a chiropractor, so he has this mindset. And he keeps thinking, you know, the power that creates the body heals the body. He says, if I can just develop a relationship with that power, I know I'll be all right. So everyone wants him to have the surgery, and the only person that agrees with him is a friend who agrees to take him home. Now, mind you, he's face down. I mean, he's really a mess. And so he said, I'm going to recreate my spine, give my mind, give my body a mental picture of my spine perfectly created. And he said it would take him 3.5 hours because it was just the hardest work he ever did. A thought would pop in his head like, what if I wind up in a wheelchair? Or, you know, should I sell my practice? And so he would have to start over because he felt like his body hadn't gotten the complete picture. And so it took him 3.5 hours, hardest work he ever did. But at the 6-week point, it only took him 1.5 hours. And he said, wow, that's good. Well, I've got all this extra time. What else do I want to? Oh, and at that point, he could turn the pain down like it was on a volume control on a radio. I mean, and he noticed other neurological improvements, things were happening. And so he, you know, he started imagining himself, you know, taking a shower by himself again, you know, watching a sunset, you know, having lunch with friends. Those were the kinds of things that he, you know, just wanted to reengage his life. Well, he'd always been told that if he ever stood up, that he would need this special back brace, you know, a body brace, because the weight of his upper body would crush his lower body. And so, but on week 10, he woke up just knowing in his knower that he was going to stand up that day. And he did. And week 11, he walked back into his life totally and completely well. So well, you know, went back to being a chiropractor, went back to, you know, training in martial arts, you know, all that. He went, walked back into his life. And it was but he'd always promised himself that if he could walk again, he'd spend the rest of his life figuring out how. So any comments so far? Because I'm kind of motoring on here. I apologize.
No. It's a wonderful sets of information you've got there. I was going to say stories, but these aren't stories. These are testimonials. And the whole time you're talking, I'm thinking about all the naysayers that I've run into, because I'm a certified natural health professional. That's not a huge deal, but I went to the classes to be certified, and I did that for myself, not to necessarily help a whole lot of people, though I did use it with family and some close friends, but mostly for my own knowledge. And I believed in the very things you're talking about, that the secret for our health and healing is within us and our relationship with our Father. And that if you give the body the things it needs, the body can heal virtually anything. I mean, I heard stories in classes that I went to of nurses and all there that saw people, their thyroids came back. Now, modern medicine will tell you that's impossible, but these people actually had three quarters of their thyroid taken due to cancer or something similar, and they actually, a thyroid recovered. Another person, a gallbladder came back. Just, we would call them miracles, but it's actually what you're talking about, the fact that our Father gave us a machine called a body that is a miracle of miracles. And so many people just completely ignore the spiritual or the holistic attitude and aspect of healing and health. And that's what we're trying to bring people up to speed with here tonight, is you're leaving out this whole universe of knowledge and modalities and information and brave hearts out there like yourself that can help people overcome so many of these things. And I just, that's my dream. You know, you talk about giving voice. You know, there's a scripture that talks about that Yahweh brought the world into existence. This world we live in, this here earth, terra firma, came into existence by the spoken word, logos. And it matched up perfectly with what you were saying. When we give voice...
About this, to me, Dan, is what we really are. And that's something that Dr. Brad Nelson acknowledged. He said, like, for instance, if you take a picture of your hand and you put it in a lineup, you could pick out your own hand, right? You've seen it every day of your life. And so he says, but if we took a microscope and really looked at it onto a microscope, maybe 1,000 magnifications, what would we see? We'd see skin cells. And if we looked inside those skin cells, what we'd see? We'd see, you know, molecules and DNA. And if we looked inside the molecules of the DNA, we'd see atoms. And if we look inside the atoms, we'd see quarks and, you know, energy and stuff. So at the end of the day, we're really just energetic beings. Now, we can deal with this stuff the other way, through, like, what we eat and things like that. And that's important. I'm not discounting that at all. But there's a way to do it just energetically too, and that's what I'm, you know, kind of focusing on here. So Joe, saying that, Joe, none of his friends can relate to him anymore. He can't relate to them. He's the happiest man in the world, and they're all moaning and complaining about the usual stuff, and he just can't relate. And so he sells his practice in San Diego and moves up to the Pacific Northwest, opens a practice, but enrolls in classes for the neurosciences, and I think he got into some metaphysical kind of things there too. That's what makes sense to me now that I, you know, see what else he's into. And but he always thought that the modern language of mysticism is science, because it's provable, and it stops people from arguing about religion and, you know, different things like that. And I think that's important when you can look at the science. So he's always approached this very scientifically, and he went around the country and interviewed. I mean, went around the world, I should say, and interviewed 17 people, or people in 17 countries that had spontaneous remissions. And he found out that they weren't so spontaneous after all. They had changed their thinking. And isn't that what the Bible says? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so people would ask him, well, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? And he was in that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? And people kept saying, how do you do it? So he started putting on these classes to show what he does. He gets up 2 hours early in the morning, you know, creates his day, goes into this kind of a meditative state and what he does. and stuff, and he's had, you know, remarkable results. Well, these classes, nothing happened for the first year and 3 months, these seminars that they put on. But at the year and 3 month mark, they started getting emails, and they all started the exact same way. They all started, "You're not going to believe this, but." So people started having these same experiences, and it was crazy. And so they've gone on. They now, well, can you do another seminar? So they now have an advanced seminar, and they bring in like heart math variability tests and from Heart Math Institute, and they do other things where they look at people's brain waves and stuff and sees what happened when they're in that meditative state. You'd ask a neurologist, "Well, what's going on there?" And you say, "Well, she's having a seizure." And then you look at the woman that's there, says, "Does she look like she's having a seizure?" "No, she's looked like she's like totally blissed out and never wants this to end." So it just really torquing the scientific community, like, what's going on here? And people have had like crazy results. I mean, like, amazing things happen. And I like the story that he tells of his kids. His daughter, when she was only 15, she was home for the summer, home with him part of the time. It seems like she lives with her mom the rest of the time. That's what I'm getting from this. And he said, "Well, what do you want to create next?" Because she had had a number one music video that she was in and helped, you know, performed in and stuff, and that went viral. So she said, "I want an unlimited shopping spree." And he laughed. I mean, what, a 15-year-old wants an unlimited shopping spree? That's kind of interesting. He says, "Okay, you know what you need to do? You need to get up early every morning and create your day and all this kind of stuff." And so she said, yeah, Dad, I know. I know how to do it. Okay, all right. And so he'd get up in the morning, have his day, then hear her get up, alarm go off. She'd rustle around a little bit and then, you know, settle down. And in the mornings when he wouldn't hear her do that, he'd go knock on her door and say, "Hey, I did mine. Are you going to do yours?" And, you know, just always, you know, be on the same, you know, level with them. He's really, really a cool guy, you know, how he raised his kids. And so so the summer went by, and he was in Washington, D.C. in the back of a taxi on his way to a speaking engagement when his daughter called. And he answered the phone, and he couldn't tell if she was laughing or crying. I mean, she was just, and so she finally was able to get out, you know that unlimited shopping spree? And he said, yeah. He says, "Well, it happened today." And he said, "Tell me everything. Don't leave anything out." And so she said, "Okay, I was in Santa Monica with my friend, and we were in our favorite store going through the racks like, you know, good women all know how to do. And a man came up to them and said to the friend, 'Oh, is so-and-so your dad?' And she said, 'Yeah, that's my dad.' He says, 'Well, girls, come with me.' And he took her behind the cash wrap into the back room, and he said to them, 'You know, your dad did something really fabulous for me 6 months ago, and I've been trying to figure out how to repay him.' And he took out the company credit card, handed it to them, and said, 'Have a nice afternoon, girls.'"
Yes.
So, of course, the next question Joe asked was, "How much should you spend?" And she said, $7,500. He said, "Do you feel guilty?" And she said, "No." And you know what, Dad? It was even cooler than one of us. And she has some other really cool stories and stuff. So I'm into this, you know. But it's work for me. And so recently, I was at the Parker Chiropractic Show here in Las Vegas, Parker Seminars, where docs have to go do their continuing education. Then they have a big expo of all the, you know, latest and greatest stuff, and, you know. And so when the chiropractors are in, and the chiropractic assistants and people like that are in their training sessions, then I would roam around the exhibit hall and see different stuff. And one day, I guess it was maybe the Friday, I go by this booth. I don't even know what they were doing, because this lady who had a Eastern European accent said, "Oh, come in, let me show you what we do here," and everything. So we get talking about a minute, and she says to me, what kind of practice do you have?" And I go, "Oh, I'm not a chiropractor." She says, "Oh, well, what do you do?" And I do a lot of things. So I just, to make it easy, I said, "I do energy work." She was starting to turn cartwheel. She was so excited. "You do energy? Oh, that's great. I do energy work. Hey, do you want to get together and stuff like that?" Because she lived, you know, here in, across the valley and stuff. So we traded phone numbers and stuff. And I still never got to experience what they were showing there. We just said, "Okay, I'll call you." So she called me Oh, she texted me and said, oh, I want to get together, but now's not a good time. I feel like I'm fighting off a cold or something, so I just want to, you know, be quiet. And that's fine. So a week went by. So last week I texted her and said, hey, I'm going to be over your side on Wednesday. Do you want to get together? And she goes, oh, she couldn't do it Wednesday. She was getting ready for this class, but how about Thursday? And I said, oh, man, I don't want to be out 2 days in a row. It takes, you know, so much time just to go somewhere here. And so she said, well, I'll come to you. And I said, great. So we get together. And this lady used to be a gymnast with the Polish national team. She's 63 years old. And I said, you look 40 at most. I mean, she said, oh, that's great that you say that. So she whips out her iPhone, and she shows me these photos that she took, a series of photos of her face. She just took them with her iPhone that in 14 sessions, she took 20 years off her face. I went, oh, my gosh. How'd you do that? Well, she says it's like this energetic facelift thing that we do with this modality that I'm into. It's called Access Consciousness. Oh, but before I meet her that time, another friend of mine, a chiropractor in Texas, sends me a video of this man, and I don't know who he is. I know a lot of the people in the, you know, energy field stuff, but I didn't know him. And he's saying stuff that I agree with. I didn't really resonate with him. He came across being a little smug to me. I didn't really like him and stuff. So after she leaves and we do these great sessions, she had a great emotion code session. It was really powerful. And she showed me what she does with this thing, part of it. And so I go online to look up more about it. And so, yeah, the website's okay. So the next day I'll go to YouTube and look. Well, I come across a video. It's actually an MP4 of a chiropractor. It used to be a chiropractor, maybe keeps that up, named Dane Heer, H-E-E-R. And he's got a book. And that's the first chapter of the audiobook, and I'll try to tell you what the name of it is. Let me see if I can get into that. Oh, Being You and Changing. I just messed that up. Being You, Changing the World is what it's called. And I go, oh, that's interesting. And so I listen to it, and I go, wow. And he gives the instructions. Yeah, the founder of Access Consciousness, he says, is Gary Douglas, and they put up a photo of him on the video, and I go, oh my gosh, that's the guy from the video the other night that my friend sent me. And so I'm going, oh, the universe is conspiring here. I think I need to pay attention to this. Well, and even after this, I emailed another friend of mine, and he said, oh yeah, I was into that back in 2007 and stuff, and then when this other thing started, I can't believe I forgot about it. So he actually downloaded the audio of the book, and he's listened to it twice since then. And so here's the premise. This is what we wanted to get to today. You know, I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says something along the lines of whatever we do in pride doesn't count. Pride goeth before a fall, all those things. And what I learned pride was that when we do things in our own strength, because I really think there's a part of us, whether you want to call it the Holy Spirit or our higher selves or just the, you know, the God within us that we were designed to be, that really wants to kind of run the show. And like I know that only 5% of what I get done is my consciousness, you know, what I do consciously, 5%. The other 95% is in my subconscious. That really runs the show. So it's kind of like your conscious mind is the captain of the ship, but it can't run around and do everything that your subconscious mind does. That's the really powerful part of it. And so it seems to me what they've been able to access here is a clearing statement that I think is really kind of interesting, and then some questions to ask that make that activate your subconscious mind to find those answers, to bring those answers to you. So I'll share some of the questions because I think this is where our people have gone wrong and the entire nationalist movement has gone wrong, that we're always, you know, looking at what is and complaining about what is. And you know, so I think we've all pretty much figured that out. And I like what Bob in D.C. says. He says, Jews are the number one enemy, but they're the number two problem, and actually our number one problem is, you know, sell out whites. people that are, you know, been bought out by them. And so they're, you know, that's the issue. So we focus on all this. But I think there's a better way to do this. And so the question that I really like the most is for us to be able to ask, what would it take for this to turn out better than I could have imagined? I really don't think anyone in the movement is saying that. Alfred Schaefer has been really highly motivational, you know, with Monica in prison, his sister, and, you know, that just travesty that happened in Germany and what's going on in England. You know, it's time that I think we need to get our energy up and start attracting a better outcome. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, people accuse Joe Dispenza all the time as being a faith healer, and he says, guilty as charged. You know, I mean, we have told that our faith is what heals us. And so I really think we need to be starting to attract a better outcome here, because folks that believe that Christ is coming back, didn't he say, will I find faith on the earth?
Yeah.
I think we need to start having some. So I want to share some of the questions because I think they're great. How does it get any better than this? And that's something they recommend that you use, you know, when things are going poorly and when things are going well. How can it get any better than this? And then just shut up and let it come to you. And things like, what's right about this that I'm not getting? That's good. What would it take to change this? I think that's really powerful. And that's the statement. So, I mean, I think it's important. What else is possible? What else is possible? Great question. You know, and here's one. Who am I today, and what are the grand and glorious adventures that I'm going to have? I mean, can a warrior really ask a better question than that?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
So what can I do today for this to show up right away? What will it take for more, when things go well, what will it take for more of this to show up? I think it's, I think this is all fascinating stuff. I'm going to look at my scent box because I really copied this down for a friend of mine recently. And let me see.
I was going to say, Patricia, and then I want to get some feedback here from Ted's been listening and just see if he's got anything he'd like to either ask or add from his own personal experience. But anybody listening who wants to get more information of this, do I tell them to contact me and then forward it to you? Is there a website?
Yeah,
should they call?
Or you can just, contact
you directly? I mean, what would you prefer?
They can contact me directly, sacredcowbarbecue@protonmail.com, or they can just go online and start looking into this. I mean, but if they want, you know, more stuff, if they need some emotion code, I'm happy to do that. I have a sliding scale on what I do if they just want to do that. Sometimes that can help us get by stuff. The clearing statement that they use is nonsensical. It sounds nonsensical, but there's points to it. And it just says right and wrong, good and bad, POC and POD, all nine, shorts, boys and beyond. And that clears stuff out. It's kind of like pulling the bottom card in a house of cards, and it takes down a lot of those energetic things, and so you can move forward. And so I think it's really interesting stuff. And then you know, we just have to take action. What can I do today that will allow this to show up right away? And then figure out, I mean, then wait for that answer to show up to us. And stop being on our heads about it.
Amen. It just reminded me, and Ted, hang on, I'll get you here in a second. It just reminded me of what my father used to tell me when I was young. And then when I got older and I became a supervisor, those words came back to me. And what he told me was, don't ever forget that the supervisor does not make the men. The men make the supervisor. And yeah, your job as a supervisor is to take the obstacles out of their way. They can get the job done. So when I became a rather young supervisor during the construction of a major power plant in Ohio years later, I remembered that. So I would treat the guys as adults instead of children like so many did. I'd never browbeat them. I didn't bird dog them. I would simply do exactly what my father said. You know, here's your job. I expect you to do the job and to do it well. And in the meantime, if there's anything that's causing you problems, any roadblocks, you call me and I'll get those roadblocks out of your way. That sounds a lot like what you're saying. These are techniques to remove the roadblocks from a natural process that would take you to a higher state.
Absolutely, and raise our vibration here, the thing that they've stolen from us. I want to talk about the Bosnian pyramids a little bit after we talk with Ted. Okay, so remind me to talk about that because I think it's a really interesting connection with this, what we're talking about.
Sure, sure. Ted, did you have anything, buddy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yep, I can hear you.
Okay. It's a very interesting subject, and I don't know a whole lot about it, probably as much as you two know, but I did get a little background in it. One of the first authors that I kind of globbed onto as a teenager when I was researching the New World Order, for better or for worse here, was David Icke. Now, he gets into a lot of the metaphysical stuff and how our 3D reality is an illusion, and I think there's a lot of truth to that, and we don't really get a whole lot of people in the nationalist scene, as Patricia alluded to, kind of talking about this. We're more into kind of 3D and news, what's going on, what the enemy's doing to us, and we kind of neglect that a lot of the changes that need to be made come, I guess, for lack of a better term, from within. We need to change a lot of our beliefs and attitudes to a more positive one and not get so weighted down with what the enemy's doing to us every day and how we can't fight back. So it's an interesting subject. I believe there's a lot of truth to it. And I'd be curious, I'd like to ask Patricia, is there any programs or books or any material that people could find on the internet about explaining the subconscious mind and how to go in and change some of the things that we've had drilled into our heads and been programmed with since childhood?
That's what it's all about. I mean, that's what all these people are doing. Dr. Bradley Nelson, you know, Theophostics, that's a man named Dr. Ed Smith, and his story is pretty interesting. Theophostics, you can look that up. They've trained thousands of people around the world. And, you know, the subconscious mind is so powerful, it knows every face we've ever seen in a crowd. Everyone. It knows everything. I mean, it's amazing. And so I'll tell you a couple quick stories. I was supposed to meet Don Wassel from the Nationalist Times at the Scottish Festival here in Las Vegas one April, fine Saturday day. And we were supposed to meet at a certain time. And I called him. He said, I'm about 15 minutes out or 20 minutes out. And I said, okay, I'll go over by the ticket booth and I'll meet you there. But when I got to and I said, but just bring your phone. He said, I want to leave my phone in the car. And I go, well, why would you want to leave your phone? But, all right, whatever. And so I get over to the ticket booth, and even though it's only mid-April, it's still blazing hot in the sun. So I said, well, I'll just go stand under this tree. And I took my phone out of my purse and put it in my pocket so I'd be sure and hear it. But either the music was too loud or I was so far out in North Vegas that I didn't have good reception and it never rang. And so I finally look, I'm waiting, and I finally look and I miss his call. And so then I try to call him back, and of course he's left his phone in the car. I'm like, oh, Shazam. I said, okay. So I can get really upset at this point and get all, you know, like us girls know how to do. And I said, or, you know, my subconscious mind knows exactly where he's at, and so I'm just going to go on with the day and know that I'm going to see him. And so I go to a couple of booths, look at some of the vendors that are there and stuff, and then I need to use the ladies' room. And so they have these porta-potties there, and I'm like, that's a no. I'm not that desperate. And I know further into the park that there's a brick-and-mortar kind. I go, I'll go there. So I'm standing there, and both are occupied, and a lady comes out of one, and I go to go in, and this lady comes, like, swoops behind me and goes in ahead of me. I didn't even see her. And I said, oh, pardon me. I think I'm next. And she said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking. And I'm like, talking to who? And I see her look behind me, And I turn around, and Dawn is standing right there.
Yep.
Yeah, I had another thing. I was supposed to pick somebody up at the airport, and I said, same place? And he said, yeah, same place I dropped you off. And I go, okay, because this, you know, McCarran's a big place. And I get there, and I go around like three times. He's not there. I go to passenger pickup. He's not there. And I've had, all right, just go park. There's no point getting frustrated here. Your subconscious mind knows exactly where he is. So I'm walking across this little sky bridge to go into the terminal, and I just happen to glance down, and there he is. He's out like in the taxi pickup, not next to the terminal where I was looking for him. And I go, hey, there you are. And he goes, oh, I'll be right up.
Wow. Amazing.
Yep.
Hey, let me just check back with Ted if he was done with what he wanted there, and then we can get on to the Bosnian pyramids too.
Okay. Well, the books, Joe Dispenza's book, Ted, Becoming Supernatural. I might start with his last one first. It's very good, and he goes into it. The emotion code. I think there's a whole book about it. I mean, Brad Nelson said it even worked on animals. I'll tell you, and there was a horse one time, and no, it was, I think it started with a little dog that had been, when he was in Southern California, that he was out walking with his humans, and a coyote came and picked him up and carried him off, and the humans chased for as long as they could, but they couldn't keep up, and they were just devastated that they lost this precious little dog, and they felt horrible. Well, a couple days later, don't they go to the door, and there's the little dog. He's a matted up mess. So they scoop him up and take him to the vet and get him all fluffed and buffed, and he's in good shape. But his personality had changed. He used to bark at everybody when they came and just greeted him every time. But he wasn't saying a word. And they go, man. They said, well, maybe Dr. Nelson can help him because he probably has some negative trapped emotions. And so they said, well, yeah, let's take him over there. So Brett says, yeah, he probably feels, you know, panic or terror or something. So let's say, well, actually, the emotion that he felt when they used a proxy and stuff was sadness. Well, what was he sad about? He was sad because he thought he'd never see his humans again. So they clear that right there in the office, and he barks at them, and then he runs out, barks at the folks in the reception area, then goes over to the radiology area, and a couple whoops at the people in there, and he's like fully back. I mean, it's just crazy. And then the other story with that is there was a horse that the vet didn't know what was wrong with him. And so somebody said, well, you know, there's this half-crazy chiropractor that seems to be able to talk to animals. And the owner said, well, get him over here. And so he went over, and they're going like, what are you, you know, blah, blah. And it was sadness with this horse. And he says, well, is it sadness about a person? No. About a dog? No. About a rabbit? No. About, you know. And he's going through this whole list. He's running out of stuff to say. And he sees a bird fly overhead. He says, is it about a bird? And the horse says, yes. So the muscle tech says, yes. So everyone starts to laugh. And the owner said, wait a minute, hang on a minute. You know, before this started, there was a little bird that fell out of its nest and fell down right in front of his stall and died. And he said, so they said, is that what you're sad about? And he said, yes. So they cleared that, and the horse was right as rain again.
That's something that you're talking about that a lot of people are not familiar with. I am, because they taught us muscle testing and having a substitute doing muscle testing for like a baby, somebody that can't communicate, or an animal. So I know exactly what you're talking about, but a lot of people listening aren't going to quite understand what that's all about.
Well, they had someone touch the horse. You know how farm kids do. They all hold hands and someone grabs the electric fence. Who gets shocked?
Guy in the end.
The person on the end, exactly. So that's what this is. You know, so someone's touching them. Or I even do it, like I've done it with people in Australia, people in the UK, people, you know, all over. I've just done it on the phone or on Skype. And that you don't need to be present to win. I mean, we can make an agreement that I'm able to be your proxy and stuff like that. And it seems to work just fine. Long distance even, you know, so.
One thing I have noticed, muscle testing, I completely believe in it because I've used it for so long and had nothing but positive results. The only thing I will say, and it's like so much we're taught in the Word, if you don't have faith, it doesn't work. So the only people that it never worked with was the Debbie Downers and the naysayers that came in with an attitude, and they were determined that they were not going to have it work with them. And for those few people that I ran into like that, it would never work. But everybody else, it worked. So only the very negative, the very dark individuals, there was no helping them. You could not help them. But even people that were slightly skeptical but at least open that it might be okay, you could get it to work. But the people that were just downright determined that they were not going to have this actually work because they just didn't want to believe in it, it didn't work. It's just like Scripture says about faith and all the blessings of our Father. It's not going to work for the unbeliever, for the doubter.
And what muscle testing does, like I actually, you know, there's going to be a gas, parents suck all the air out of the room. I actually use a pendulum now because muscle testing on myself and being on the phone and stuff like that, it's very subtle how I muscle test myself. There's several ways to do it. Brad Nelson can teach you how to do it. I mean, I'm sure there's videos that will show you that you can use the sway test. You can use, there's a finger one. That's not my strong one. Holding something up to your chest, like if you want to check if a supplement's good for you or not, or something, or anything, just put it up to your chest, close your eyes, and your body has a natural sway, but it'll sway decisively either forward if it wants it or back away from it if it doesn't want it. It's really kind of a fast, I mean, it's a tool that everybody can have.
Oh, absolutely, but you have to have faith in it. Yeah, you got to have faith in it.
Yeah, you got to believe it's going to work. I mean,
right.
And if you don't, and sometimes, you know what, I sometimes have a hard time muscle testing myself, sometimes because I get too in my head about it. And, you know, and other people will do that. My friend that I originally told the story about, she'll call me. She says, you know, if it's family member or something like that, and she'll call me and ask me if I can work on them for her because, you know, she's too close to it. And so, you know, we understand, but, man, it works. It definitely works.
Well, yeah.
Your body always wants to be coherent with your subconscious. It always wants the truth. And so when you ask it and someone says their wrong name, that's a no. I mean, if someone wants something, it's a yes. It's a really remarkable tool, and people should look into how to do it. It's easy to find. You can teach yourself. Go to YouTube.
Yeah, amen to that. Ted, did we ever finish up what you wanted us to talk about, or did you have anything you wanted to add?
I was curious about kind of accessing your subconscious mind and consciously going into it and kind of reworking it to change some of the bad stuffs or attitudes or beliefs that you kind of get imbued with family and friends growing up, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's a four-letter word for that, Ted. It's called life. L-I-F-E. It happens. And we do pick up a lot of stuff in our subconscious. So when I work with someone, and I learned this from Dr. Nelson, was there's two kinds of questions. I have people say, I think something, like I think I'm trying to say, I think I can, I think my body is healing from, you know, whatever this problem is. And so I say that sometimes that'll be right. And then I say, I feel like this is, that access to your subconscious mind when they say, I feel. And so when they don't line up, nothing's going to happen. The captain has to be lined up with the crew. If the captain and the crew aren't in agreement, nothing is going to happen. And it's hard to change that consciously because there's a gatekeeper between the captain and the crew. And the best time to do exercises like this and think on these things is right after you wake up. You're good for about an hour and a half. That gatekeeper's still asleep. Or right before you fall asleep, it's the same thing, that gatekeeper's there. But the gatekeeper's there to keep status quo. And what these strategies do, these modalities do, is they bypass the gatekeeper so they can make that change in your subconscious mind and fix whatever that unbelief is, whatever you know is keeping you from experiencing, you know, the truth that you want to experience, the healing, the, you know, money and all those things. Because we all have those things in our subconscious.
Yeah, amen to that. Real quick, Patricia, how do you spell Dispenza? Joe Dispenza. How do you spell?
D-I-S-P-E-N-Z-A.
Oh, okay. I would not have guessed that.
Joe Dispenza 2015 is a conference that he did, and you can hear his whole story there. But look up Joe Dispenza Children, and you'll see some of his other really amazing stories with his kids. That's really cool.
Well, you know, this gets into an area that I first became aware of many years ago. In fact, Doc Waterman can be a testimony to this, because it was when I went to visit Doc many years ago when I first met him that I found out about this. And it's a thing called biofeedback. And it falls into the a category very similar to what we're talking about here. It seems nonsensical. It seems almost heretical to some people.
Too simple,
can't work, not enough science, not enough this, not, but here's the thing. I went in, I'm going to be an open mind, and this is the old biofeedback technology of almost 20 years ago. So this was putting the straps on the wrists and the ankles and on my head and sitting in a chair for a half hour, to where the metal tabs were starting to irritate a little bit. But that now the new ways of doing that are so much easier, so much faster. But this was new technology back then, and I was curious, and I trusted Doc, so I said, yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Well, he did an analysis. He got the computer readout, and he sat down, and he went into areas of my history and health that I had never said to him. There was no way he could have known these things. And he even nailed what I did for a living. And again, I had never told him where I worked, and yet he brought that up on the thing. He goes, that's curious. He goes, I've never seen this indicator on anybody I've ever checked out. And I said, well, what's it say? He goes, it says you've been around radiation. He had no idea I worked in a nuclear power plant. And I said, well, I won't say what I said there. it was a bit off color, because he had caught me off guard. I mean, my jaw was on the floor, and I said, that is actually telling you that? He goes, yeah. He goes, maybe it was a glitch. He goes, I've never seen this with anybody else. And I go, so I looked at him and I said, well, have you ever checked anybody out that's has spent a lifetime working in a nuclear power industry? And he just looked at me and he says, oh my God. So little indicators like that have happened all through the years, whether it was muscle testing, holistic therapy, or even the use of the biofeedback and chakras and all those different things. People think it can't be, because there's not enough MDs doing it. There's not enough hospitals. There's not enough research. They get into this occultism, I call it, of science and medicine, when really our father is very, very simple. And it goes back to what you're talking about and what Ted and all of us have been talking about. We're an electrical energy. We are energy. We're in this world that he created, and he put the blueprint at the DNA level. Our bodies want to be in homeostasis, which means balance, because that's where health is. That's where vitality is. That's where longevity is. That's where peace of mind is. And that's where strength is. And that's why we're talking about this. We're going into a war. There's an enemy that wants to destroy us. You can't fight a war if you're also fighting bad health. You got to have your health, people. Yep. So you can think straight. You can react properly, and you can go take the fight to the enemy. Our enemy has done everything they can to destroy us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And these are methods that our father made available to us. I'm convinced of that. And these things work. You just have to have faith, and you have to look into it and actually do it. Just like I went to the classes.
Yeah, the different part. Right. That's how to do it. You know, there's one called the Healing Code, and I've used that, and I still use it sometimes today. I'm getting more into it. It was developed by a man named Alex Lloyd. He was Christian, and and after he got married, his wife got into a black depression. I don't know what, and he went actually, I think he's got his PhD, but at least a master's in psychology, because he was always trying to look for something that would help her. And she had, he used to call it self-help books. He called it shelf help, because none of it helped her. And finally he got the download one day, to do Healing Code, to do it a certain way. And I remember when I saw it, I said, oh, this makes sense to me. I do Reiki. This is like a combination of Reiki and, Theosophics in a way. And it's a way that you hold your hands. You can look this up over like the bridge of your nose, that area of your face. and then you move them down again to like where your thyroid is, and then back almost like below your ears, like around your jaw, and then up to your temple, and then back. And you do that for 6 minutes, three times a day, while you're thinking positive thoughts, positive loving thoughts, and about what you want to heal and those kinds of things. I gotten really sick. I was right when I moved into this house that I live in now, and because I've been going to this breakfast buffet at this casino because I was refinishing the house, a bunch of stuff, and I'd go and I'd eat stuff that I don't usually eat, and so I got really sick. And in that fall, I really didn't think I was going to recover, and because none of the things I used to do were righting the ship. And so I'm like, well, and then somebody sent me this healing code thing, so I started doing it, and I go, yeah, three times a day, 6 minutes, no problem, and I fully recovered. And so that's a really cool thing. But his co-author on that is an MD named Ben Davidson, and he left allopathic medicine, or as I call it, allopathetic medicine, and got into went to naturopathic school, and they opened this integrative clinic. I think it's in Atlanta, but anyway, and he knew that there was an energetic component to stuff because there was a woman that they cured her cancer and she died anyway. And the reason she died anyway is because she was married to an older man that controlled the money, was totally controlling all the time. Excuse me, I got to cough for a second. And she died anyway. She just wanted out of the relationship. Oftentimes, I've found that cancer is just a socially acceptable form of suicide. I noticed that with patients when I was director of a cancer society. You know, some people just want out, and that's a socially acceptable form of it. But Davidson's story is pretty interesting. So here he is, typical man, ignored his own symptoms for a year. Finally, went to see another doctor, and the doctor said that he had ALS. That's Lou Gehrig's disease. That's a 5-year death sentence, okay? And he was a year into it. So he didn't like that diagnosis, went to see someone else. Yeah, they confirmed the diagnosis. That's what this is. So he was pretty motivated to find something, and that's when he bumped into Alex Lloyd in the healing code. And he started doing it, and 3 months later, there wasn't even a genetic marker for the ALS. He was so completely well. And I believe we can change our DNA. Gene expression is in science, is more and more and more and more science is backing that up. And, you know, it's in the Bible. So, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yep. All we have to do is get the roadblocks, just like I was alluding to in my early career as a supervisor. Yep. If we get the damn roadblocks out of the way, which means we got to get these parasites called the medical mafia and these pharmaceutical giants out of the way. And these bureaucrats,
yeah, in our own thoughts. You talked about the thyroid earlier. That's been my big thing. If you can, you name all the things that slow down your metabolism. I am a poster child for all of them. I have done them all in spades. It's all counterintuitive. We're raised with if exercise good, more is better. Dieting, I went on my first diet in fourth grade because my mom and my sister were going to do a grapefruit diet. And I go, well, I want to do it. You don't need to lose weight. And I go, but I want to do it anyway. And dieting slows down your metabolism. And over the years, it just got worse and worse. And, you know, when you slow down your thyroid, then you slow down your liver, and your liver's slow, then that slows down your thyroid further. And I dieted my way up to an enormous weight. I'm only 5'3 now, and I weigh nearly 200 pounds. And so I've been really freaked out. And last year I got on this really good thyroid program. I'd been on it one other time called Wilson Temperature Therapy and stuff. But I wanted to do it so I could do ketogenics. And so and if I hadn't dieted, I'd have been back in my size 5s by now because I started eating a lot. You can read somebody's book. A guy named Matt Stone. He wrote a book called Diet Recovery and Diet Recovery 2 and Eat for Heat. And I highly recommend this to anyone that's been dieting and unsuccessfully because it slows down your metabolism. And it's funny because the number one most successful doctor in history is a doctor by the name of Broda Barnes. And he passed away like early in the 80s or late in the 70s. But he had 2,000 patients and only 4 of them ever had heart attacks. And the only reason they had heart attacks is because they stopped doing his program. And his program was he treated every problem the same way by raising people's metabolism. And so this has been a real struggle for me because my body temperature, I have, long story short, but my body temperature's like been just horrible. I got off my thyroid medication because, you know, so I thought my thermometer was broken. It was so low. And so but this voice in my head, man, I had this tape playing in my head. And I know through Joe's work, and I go, how am I going to overcome this? Because I can't shut off this tape. I'm so upset about this and freaked out. You know, I'm an athlete. I'm a tennis player, man. I mean, I'm the sporty girl. You know, I'm not the girly girl, you know. And so it drives me crazy. And so and this happened maybe 2 weeks ago now, I guess. So I got up out of bed because I was trying to do my meditation. I could hear this tape running in my head. And I did some emotion code to clear it. And I cleared it. And I woke up the next morning again. I was a new person again. Just a new person. And the epiphany I had about things. And it's so nice not to have that tape running in my head. I feel optimistic. I know. And my temperature's come way up since then. I was almost at my, I was only like a point or two low from my normal temperature and stuff today. And doing some healing code on it. Doing, you know, saying the clearing statements. All I can say is this stuff works, folks. I mean, don't be miserable.
And it's catching on. I just found out near Miami from somebody I know today that there's a holistic chamber of commerce in a town not too far from Miami. So, wow. You know, and also I found out there is a new CBD or CBD recovery relief, they call it, here again, not too far. It's in the South Florida region. People are making available CBD oil that has no THC whatsoever in it, so you can even give it to a child, or you'll never test positive.
I know that oil. It was created by a doctor named Dr. Chris Shade. And if people want more information about that, I'm happy to give it to them. But they've had some remarkable results with it. As a matter of fact, someone, I'll just tell you a story. I had some in my pocket. And because the joke is pump, pump, pass. You just hand it to people. And I handed it to an attorney that I knew. We were at a press conference for Clive and Bundy. And so he took a couple hits, and I said, just hold it onto your tongue for, you know, 30 seconds, 45, you know, long as you can. And then I went to pass it to the next attorney, who's Ammon Bundy's attorney, and I'm not going to use his name because I didn't ask his permission for this. But he said, oh, is that hemp oil? And I said, yeah. He says, oh, I take that. And I go, really, what did it do for you? He says, it got rid of my headaches, and it got rid of the inflammation in my knee. And so I don't have any knee pain anymore. And I said, really? I said, how long did that take? And he said, about 5 minutes. He says, we give it to our kids. Now, this has snapped some autistic kids just out of autism. It repairs the blood-brain barrier and things in the brain, because the cannabidiol receptor sites, CB1 and CB2, are the most abundant in the body. So to God, you know, place them in the body so we could, you know, smoke pot? No, I think it's because of the other, you know, endogenous kind of, you know, cannabidiol in the body, like things like endorphins and things. So those fill up those sites. You know, a classic book on this, classic, is Norman Cousins' Anatomy of an Illness. Do you remember that book, Dan?
I don't think I've come across that one.
Oh, it's from back in the 70s or the 80s. It was one of the first ones I read, maybe 90s, it's a while ago. But Norman Cousins, first thing, he had a heart murmur as a kid, and they said he couldn't play sports or anything, and he just said, oh, screw it, and he just decided to play sports and do everything, so he was fine. And then he was working for the Saturday Evening Post, I think, in New York. And they had to go to the Soviet Union for some meetings and stuff, and it didn't go well. It was a really horrible trip for him, and he got home, and he thought he just had the flu. And it turns out he didn't have the flu. What he actually had was something called ankylosing spondylitis. It's like arthritis of the connective tissue, and it's, quote, one of those incurable diseases. Now, all incurable means is that doctors don't have a pill or a surgery for it. That's all incurable means. You should never believe them, you know. And that's Brad Nelson's claim to fame with emotion code, is he in body code, that he was curing the incurable all the time, routinely. And so, but this early, and so he's in the hospital, and one of the things he had going for him is that his wife never let one speck of hospital food pass his lips. She would either bring food from home or from the health food store every day for him to eat. And so, and he kind of had a good sense of humor already. Like when they'd want a urine sample, sometimes he'd take his unfiltered apple juice and pour it in the container and stuff like that, and they'd go, oh my God, you know, they'd freak out, you know, just to play a joke on him. But he'd notice when the writers would come in that they were funny guys and they'd make him laugh, and he'd notice after they left that he'd be pain-free for several hours after they left. And he went, laughter. I don't know what your Bible says, but mine says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so he checked himself out of the hospital against, you know, medical advice, checked himself into a hotel and rented, this was reel-to-reel projector time, and so he started playing all the funniest things that he could find, Three Stooges, you know, whatever kind of comedy there was, and he just laughed himself well. And he was so well, in fact, that UCLA Medical School asked him to come and be on the staff, and they were researching him and what had happened there. So do we think, you know, we get so bogged down, but don't you think we should laugh more and have more fun?
Oh, absolutely. You know, emotion and stress are two things that can either work for you or against you, two very, very important things. And laughter, obviously, is a stress reducer and an emotional builder. So it's all common sense. I remember reading the story back during when the Shah of Iran was overthrown and the Ayatollah Khomeini had taken over. And there was a prison where they put dissenters, and they rounded up a bunch of these Iranian people and they put them in these prisons, and they were obviously not very nice places. They were dirty, dirty water, bad food. They were mistreated. And there was a doctor was one of the people that they had arrested. And so he went to the prison, warden, and he begged him. He said, all I'm asking is for clean water. Would you please let me help these people? I'll do it for free. I'm in here anyway. He said, but I've got to have clean water. That's all I'm asking you for. All the rest we'll do for ourselves. So he agreed. He said, okay. And so they made sure that they got pure, fresh, clean water, and that's all they brought to him. And he was able to bring the mortality rate at that prison down to near zero. I mean, and the conditions improved, the attitudes improved, the inmates worked harder at cleanliness, and people behaved better. Everything got better with something as simple as pure water. I mean,
all they really needed was a vaccine. A vaccine would have cured all that.
Yeah, right. Well, you know,
I remember that the fall of the Soviet Union. There was everything shut down. You know, the public sanitation things. There was trash building up all over the streets and everything. So people were coming down with typhus and tuberculosis and things. And so they want to say, oh, we've got to vaccinate these people. No, just clean up the junk. I mean, that's the paradigm, isn't it? You're not sick, you're toxic. So I always ask people, do rats cause garbage? No, rats don't cause garbage. Garbage attracts rats. You can shoo the rats away all day long, but until you clean up the garbage, they're going to keep coming back. And that garbage can be emotional, it can be spiritual, and it can be physical. I mean, if you're eating crappy food and stuff like that. So it's all being, you know, health and wellness is about being clean in all those areas.
That's why
and
I like
letting go of stuff that isn't working for us.
Right. That's why I like the term holistic. We're talking about holistic here. It's mind, body, and spirit. They all three work together. Ted, I think you were trying to say something.
I'll just add in here, you were speaking about hemp oil, hemp product. I know most listeners have heard him and have seen his stuff, but I had a show with Rick Simpson, phoenixtears.ca. He made the movie Run from the Cure about using hemp product the oil resin that you can extract off the plant to treat chronic fatigue, chronic pain, even cancer. And his movie is out there for free for folks to watch. It's Run from the Cure. Run from the Cure. If you guys haven't seen it, if you have a family member or friends suffering from cancer, check it out. I think it's worth a look.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, Rick Simpson oil is impressive stuff. But you know, that's one of the ones I didn't do well on. I've got a friend in Florida. Oh my gosh, she swears by it, and it's the only thing that takes down her blood pressure and her blood sugar. Every time she goes to the doctor, I'll just tell you the story. Every time she goes to the doctor, they want to take her blood pressure. She goes, no, don't do, no, oh no, we have to. And they go, oh my gosh, and they put her right in the hospital. The last time they gave her 8 different drugs, 4 different IVs, and her blood pressure is still up there because Rick Simpson oil is the only thing that works for her. And so she said to her husband, go home and get my cannabis oil. And he's like, I can't bring that in here. And she says, if you want to ever see me out of this hospital, you'll go home and get it. And so he brings it over, gives it, she takes it, and about 20 minutes later she says to us, hey, why don't you take my blood pressure again? There she goes, it's good. See you, bye. She's out of there. So, and that works. But me, I don't like being high. I mean, the first time I took it, I felt like my head weighed, 100 pounds, but the rest of my body was awake. I just didn't have a good reaction to it. This hemp oil that we're talking about with this other company called Prime My Body, it was developed by a really cool scientist. I mean, he was so fed up with academia, science and academia, that he actually quit and went into biodynamic farming, which I totally love. First time I read about that, I tore the pages out of a cooking magazine. I don't think it was RSV, not Bon Appetit, the other one, and I carried it around because it was just the coolest thing. So then he got led back into the cannabis thing, and detoxing mercury, because most of us have had either vaccines or amalgam fillings and other ways we're exposed to mercury. And so he developed this product that doesn't have any of the THC in it, the part that makes you high. Some people will like to say that, it has to have some THC in it to activate it, but he's shown that's not true. And this kind that he has is in a nano molecular formulation that it's even the what's encapsulating the nanospheres there is actually a phospholipid that is very beneficial to your cells. So the delivery system is even beneficial to the body. And it goes in, and within about 2 minutes, it goes in right through your buccal membrane, from through your mouth. And remarkable things go on with it. My my friend, he's severely ADHD. I mean, it has been all his life. And I don't know, some of it's from some falls, some concussions he's had, I'm sure. But otherwise, he was, vaccinated as well. He's about 50. And I gave him some of this, and I said, yeah, take a shot, take a couple ones of this. He said, before I get out of the car, 2 minutes later, he says, I feel so chill. I mean, I gave it to someone else that's OCD. As a matter of fact, I need to call him. He drove by today and waved. But he said, I feel amazing on this. It's just amazing what it does to the neuroinflammation. If you live in an urban area, you have neuroinflammation. If you have amalgam in your mouth, you have neuroinflammation. If you have all those things, so it's like a fire hose for that. It's amazing. I mean, hemp is, hemp could save our country and save the world. I mean, it revitalizes the soil when it's used for biomass. It's incredible. If we can get rid of all that ethanol corn that we're growing in the Midwest and replace it with hemp, man, it'd be awesome.
Not only that, but hemp can be used in construction. You can use it to make up a form of concrete. It's called hempcrete. And the walls of your house are actually like a living, breathing entity with hempcrete in it. Hemp will also make paper that is stronger and will outlast what we use for paper today for hundreds and hundreds of years. And
isn't the Declaration of Independence written on hemp paper?
Yes, it is. And here's the other thing. An acre of hemp will produce 10 times the paper that an acre of trees will. So it's more conservative. It's better. Hemp oil can be turned into plastic. Henry Ford discovered that. And it's biodegradable. And it's stronger than the petrochemical plastics that we use today. So not only is it a stronger, better plastic, it's biodegradable and it's made from hemp oil. Now, here's the number one thing I want people to hear. Why is it we're not growing hemp? Who do you think was behind the legislation to outlaw the growing of hemp in the United States? Let's apply qui bono. Who benefits? All right, yeah. Here we go with the Zionists again. Who owns the pharmaceutical companies? Who owns the medical research laboratories? Who contributes to everybody's medical schools up to 30% of the costs, the pharmaceuticals? Who are most of the doctors? All right, the same Zionist cabal, and it's qui bono. Who benefits from outlawing hemp, and who suffers? Mankind suffers. That's the answer to that question. Hemp is a miracle plant.
It's a sacred plant. And the cool thing about this this hemp oil from PMB, from Prime My Body, that Dr. Chris Shade developed, is that it doesn't have any in the THC, so it's legal in all 50 states. So that's really cool. You don't have to worry about
Exactly. The folks I've just discovered down here near Miami, they're the same thing. There's no THC in it. A lot of people are producing the hemp oil now without the THC, so there is no high. You'll test negative. There is no THC content. Now, here's another caveat, though, folks, because we live in this dangerous world where we have these creatures walking amongst us. There are liars and deceivers. Somebody told me here recently, Dan, why do you think all of a sudden they're talking about making cannabinoids legal? Here's why. You always look for qui bono. Because they have developed a GMO form of hemp. And who do you think has the patent for the GMO? And who do you think is promoting for all these clinics and all that are opening up all of a sudden to get a license? Guess what? Just like Monsanto, you've got to get your hemp from them, and it's GMO hemp, which means you might as well not even take it. It's useless.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrifying.
Because I noticed on the business card for the people here near Miami, I thought it was odd. I looked at it here. It says no THC, no GMO, and I thought, my God, they've already started to adulterate the hemp products out there. And so the same cabal that is destroying this world because of their lust for money has actually gone after the hemp industry by creating an adulterated, watered down GMO form. And so they're going to try to legislate it to where that's the one you have to make available. You watch. So be careful to get the non-GMO.
Yeah, stay heads up. I've got someone working on that. And you know what hemp is also good for is feeding cattle.
Absolutely.
It's great for feeding cattle. So it sounds like you read Jack Herrera's book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes.
Well, no, I haven't, but it's just probably the people that give me information have read it. But I wanted to ask you real quick, Norman Cousins' book, Anatomy of a, I didn't get the last part.
Illness. So. Anatomy of an Illness. It's a classic. You can probably find it in your local library.
All right. I've been writing like crazy since you started talking. I got all kinds of notes here. But, you know, here again, folks, we're telling you this stuff because it's fact. We want the truth, and we want everybody healthy. We're not, you know, they try to paint us as the news media is trying to attack radio shows like this as alt-right, white supremacist. I mean, they got all these classical misnomers that they give us to try to get people not to hear what we have to say. We don't hate anybody. We hate people that violate God's law. We hate people that want to destroy our race. That's absolutely what we should be doing. If the churches were teaching the proper gospel message, they also would be telling you to hate these kind of things because they're ungodly and they're trying to kill us off as it's called genocide. It's funny that when people talk about killing the white race, it's okay. If you're talking about harming any other race, you get slapped with a hate crime and a charge of genocide. But it's okay to kill white people.
Did you see on Breitbart? Now, I'm not a big Breitbart supporter, but they've been carrying a lot of stuff. man named Mark Meacham. He goes by Count Dankula, I think is his personality on his show. I think he had a show or a YouTube channel or something. Well, he got convicted yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago, of hate speech, of doing something that's you know, grossly offensive, because his girlfriend's dog raises its paw when it wants a treat. Well, a lot of people teach their dogs to do that. It's called high five. But so he made a joke about it and say he's saying Heil Hitler. And so he's been in court. He's been he may face 2 months in prison. He was convicted yesterday.
Yeah,
it's
sick.
Insanity.
It is
absolute
insanity.
I'll
tell you, there's a couple good things though. Let me throw these in here real quick while we still have time. Art Jones has just won the Republican nomination for Congress near Chicago. And Art Jones is a Holocaust denier and a white nationalist. And he has just won. It was in the uglytruth.wordpress.com. Today, under the title of the article is Illinois Holocaust Denier Wins the Republican Nomination for Congress. So hallelujah. Also, there was another title on thehill.com. Lawmakers are zeroing in on the Zionist Jew Zuckerberg. Hallelujah for that one. I did see where a couple cities have stood up and told the state it's none of your business trying to push this acceptance of the migrants and sanctuary business. Some of the states and some of the cities are standing up now and telling the traders that we don't care what you say, we're not going to do it. So we've got that going on. And then there was an article in the Washington Examiner that the D.C. insiders are flocking to doomsday communities lately. And let me throw a real quick one in here. Back in the 90s, when I lived in New Jersey, I was interested in a bomb shelter. I saw this magazine ad that this thing could be brought into your backyard, dropped in the ground. You know, you just dig a big hole in the ground, drop it in the ground, cover it up with dirt, and it came with enough stuff for 8 people to live in it for up to a year. And it had air filtration, radiation monitors. It could filtrate the air to where you didn't get any contaminants or radiation. It had enough food and bedding and lights and batteries, all that stuff. So you could literally just drop this thing in your backyard. I think it was about $10,000. So I was curious about it. So I sent a letter off to the president of the company. And you know what he said in that? It was almost like it was prophetic. He was bragging in this letter, obviously. Yeah, you've chosen a great company. We produce these things. We're known to be some of the best in the industry. And our best clients are employees of the Pentagon and in Washington, D.C., and the government and the State Department. So is what I'm reading here possibly true? Well, I got this letter 30 years ago or more saying the exact same thing. They're telling us not to worry about it. We don't have civil defense facilities anymore, so we're left out there with our asses hanging in the air while the so-called brave hearts in Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon are buying shelters to make sure their sorry asses are taken care of should anything go wrong. But the rest of us are left out there hanging to dry.
I was at a party one New Year's Eve, and the host's son had retired from the military not long before that, or left the military, and he was working for a company that builds Faraday cages, you know, like building-sized Faraday cages, and, you know, to prevent against the EMP strike or something like that. And he said they couldn't make them fast enough. And who was their biggest customer? Oh, the U.S. government, protecting their government buildings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I know, it's a riot. So we need to turn this around. And, I want to mention the Bosnian period real quick. You can look up Dr. Sam Osmanagic, or just Bosnian Pyramids on YouTube or Vimeo anywhere, and see some of his lectures. He was a guest when I had Sacred Cow Barbecue. These pyramids are the largest in the world, even bigger than, and he discovered, he was a pyramidologist, and then he discovered them in his home country of Bosnia, like right in his backyard. It's just a trip. And hear how much the government all over the world deny that these are pyramids. They're everywhere. And what were they accomplishing? Well, this pyramid, the one that they're excavating now, I mean, it's covered over in granite, but inside it was filled in with rocks and stones and, you know, debris like leaves and things like that. It was all filled in. Like, who filled it in? Because when they've excavated it, the energy that's in those pyramids and the energy that it gives out is so healing. There are people that come every 2 months. Nothing else controls her blood pressure. She comes, she spends about an hour in the pyramid, and then she's fine for another several months. And there was a lady, she was set, he asked him, has anyone been to the body? This woman raised her hand. She says, yes, I'm 70 years old, and I was running through the tunnels with a wheelbarrow. I mean, the energy in there is so healing to our DNA. They say you can feel it. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I want to go.
Well, you know,
I like energy stuff.
A lot of my naturopathic friends, and my son is a certified iridologist, and my daughter is a RN nurse. So we have health people in the family. Another cousin is a doctor. So lots of people. But, you know, a topic of discussion that's come up here recently is longevity and reversing the aging process. I'm fully convinced that Father's going to open the doors for us in the very near future, that we're actually going to take these old decrepit bodies that have been abused by this system for so long. And when we get all of these healing things like hemp and the heirloom seeds and start growing organically again and tell this New World Order Babylonian system to go screw themselves, and we're just not going to do it anymore. We're going to create our communities. We're going to create our farms. We're going to have animals raised with proper treatment, benign treatment. And when we do slaughter, they're going to be slaughtered in a proper manner. And we're not going to eat near as much meat because we eat way too much meat. So it's not going to be like you're going to have slaughterhouses full of animals. It's going to be like a once a week thing like it was when I was a boy. When I was a boy, you ate vegetables and starches all week long. You didn't eat meat all week long, except for
I've seen this happening already with the energetic facelift. My friend, the 63-year-old former Polish gymnast, she said not only did her face turn back the hands of time on her face 20 years or more, but the rest of her body experienced it too. Everything was perkier and tighter and lifted. And, it's amazing. So I know there are energetic ways to do this as well.
Yeah, I'm convinced. I'm convinced. That's, again, I'm going full speed ahead. And as I was thinking about the program tonight and discussions that we've had, I think that's a change in pace that we all need to do. And enough of this New World Order BS. I'm sick to death of these people. Let's just ignore them. They're insignificant. If they actually had all the stuff they want us to lay awake in fear about, if they actually possessed it in the quantities they needed, we'd all be in prison or dead. So they don't have it. You know, if Israel wants to threaten with the Samson option, push the button. Go ahead, Netanyahu or any of you other assholes in Israel, go over there to that red button and push it. I dare you. Go ahead and push it, because I'm sick of it. You people are criminals, and we need to get you all rounded up and taken out of every white nation of this world so that we can fix ourselves and then help the rest of the world get fixed. Because you people love money, you love your father, Satan, and you've done nothing but destroy this world in every way possible. And I'm sick to death of it. You threaten anything you want, threaten to bring down the financial system. I'm at the point I don't give a damn. You do whatever you think is the worst you can do. And you know what? We're still going to be standing. We're still going to be here, only we're going to be healthier, brighter, and more beneficial buildings and building materials and better finances and working. And guess what? We don't need all these taxes. We don't need central banks. We don't need large central governments. What do you think siphons all the wealth of us out every day of our working lives? Do you think that's what our father intended, people? No. We got to get rid of all this stuff. Real estate taxes, inheritance, all these taxes that milk and bilk us, get rid of them. And guess what? Now you can live on your land the way our ancestors did. Do you know, Ted and Patricia, I read a story a long time ago about the Sistine Chapel and many of the great works all through Europe in the Middle Ages. Do you know who provided the labor to make those wonderful buildings and do all the statues and the painting and the artwork. Do you know who did it?
Yeah, farmers and craftsmen, because they only had to work three or four months a year to provide for their families, and then they could, you know, volunteer their time after that.
Bingo. Bingo. It was done by volunteers, because the average farmer, the average craftsman could make enough money to support his family in 17 weeks of work. That's all it took. 17 weeks. And look at us today. All right. So it was volunteer labor that put all that stuff together. It's amazing what we've accepted. We're accepting enslavement. And this is not what our father intended. I can guarantee you that.
So I think it's a good time to start asking those questions, like, what would it take for this to turn out better than I could have imagined? What would it take for this to turn out better than I could have imagined?
Well, that's where we're going, Patricia. Let's start it right now here on Eurofolk Radio. Let's take a new direction and tell the New World Order and the rest of these scumballs they can go to hell. I'm tired of it. They can go to hell. If they don't like me, what I'm saying, come here and take me out. I'm tired of it. I'm not afraid of you anymore. I just don't care. My father put us in charge. He gave us the bodies. He gave us the technology. He gave us a caring and sharing heart. And I love what Dr. Judy said many years ago. An Israelite is a loving, caring, and sharing person, sometimes to a fault. But we are loving, caring, sharing people. I don't give a damn what the Jew-controlled media says. I'm sick and tired of the disease, the death, the hospitalization, the early going. I lost a nephew a year ago at 28 years old. 28 years old to goddamn cancer. And I know he didn't have to die. And that's what pisses me off. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. So if we got to go a different way, then by God, let's go a different way. And let's take everything that he's given us and start using it and start building again and tell all these parasites that are hanging off of us and sucking from the tit and just scrape them off of us. That's what we need to do. Scrape them, boycott every one of them. And I heard that the Jews don't like anybody that says boycott them. I'm telling you, boycott them. Boycott everything about them. Don't associate with them. Don't buy anything from them. Don't donate. And don't give them any of your time. And don't give them any of your concerns and fears. They're not worth it.
You're a tough act to follow, Dan.
That was a good rant. Well, I'm fed up.
Ted, what have you got to say? We've monopolized the whole conversation here.
You know what, Patricia? I told him that Monday night. He's a tough act to follow, and boy, there's really nothing I can add to it. I don't know if you guys have ever had an experience in your life with a person, maybe a family member or a friend, that you kind of tolerate and you're nice and you kind of take their abuse, and then it just builds up and builds up. And then one day you finally have enough. You show them your teeth, bite back at them a little bit, and it's funny how things change.
Amen. You know, there's a meme that goes out that says white people are nice until they're not. And I believe with all my heart we've reached the point on this timeline of history to where it's time white people are not nice anymore. I'm sick and tired of it.
I don't know. I think you know what, Dan? I think we need to do it out of love. I think love is the most powerful thing, and love for our people. And frankly, our people sometimes aren't that lovable. You know, they've been so messed up and so zombified in some cases that it's really hard. So I think if we work on ourselves and raise our vibration, our frequency, we'll attract more people to us that are like-minded and really start that tipping point going.
Well, we are close to the tipping point. I can guarantee you that. So, well, we've got about 8 minutes left, a little bit less than that. So we want to start trying to wrap this thing up here. But this is great information.
Can I tell you a little bit about another technique? There was one called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, I think it was called, EFT. And it was developed by a man named Roger Callahan. And he used to charge $10,000 to learn how to do it. And I've seen it work because I've seen him with survivors of war atrocities, people that were hollow shells of themselves, hollow shells. I mean, just they weren't even like people. I mean, they were just so wounded emotionally and psychically. And he would do this, and just moments later, they'd be laughing and smiling again. It was incredible. And so what he, and then someone took that, you know, just like how computers, early computers actually helped us, you know, get better computers and better computers, you know, and make more. The computers actually, you know, helped the technology themselves. That someone took his work and streamlined it some and gave it away, and that was great. And then somebody else took that work and created something called CTT, and I'm never quite sure what that stands for. I think it stands for Consciousness Transformation Technique or something like that, or tapping. It's a form of the tapping technologies, but it's really good. And we can actually, if everybody would like to do it, tapping here, I could do it. I should, what we'd like to do is create something better. And would you like to do that?
Yeah, why not?
Well, and I've had it work great. I used to have a friend on Skype that she had been in the hospital, and they must have dropped her off a gurney or something because she left the hospital with a dislocated shoulder. And for an entire year, she couldn't get a night's sleep. She would wake up screaming. She couldn't lift her arm enough to even shave under her arm. That's how painful it was. And so I said, well, let's do some tapping. And so we did some of this kind of energy work. And the next thing I know, she says, oh, I can lift my arm. Well, it doesn't have much strength in it. I can lift it with the other hand. She says, well, let's put the strength back in it. So we did some more tapping. That was the first night that she slept and didn't wake up screaming. And she got up the next morning and took a plate down from the cupboard with the hand that she couldn't have even moved the day before. So, again, it's just one of these other things that bypasses that gatekeeper, goes right to our subconscious and lines it up. And so how it works is people cross their arms like they're giving themselves a hug. And they're going to pat on their arm, their forearm, bicep there, like 3 to 10 times on each side. And it does, you don't have to count, just 3 to 10, then change the other side. And what this seems to do is put you in an alpha state where you're very open, okay, to what you're seeing. So what we would say is, and you can repeat after me, I always say there's a genius part of me. If you want to do that, there's a genius part of me.
There's a genius part of me.
That knows how to.
That knows how to.
Create and experience.
Create and experience.
In this case, we'll say freedom and justice.
Freedom and justice.
Mm-hmm. That genius part of us.
That genius part of us.
Is informing the rest of our being now.
Is informing the rest of our being now.
Doing so now.
Doing so now.
With unlimited love.
With unlimited love.
Grace and ease.
Grace and ease.
And we're going to say, our minds, bodies, and spirits.
Our minds, bodies, and spirits.
Are receiving the love and healing.
Are receiving the love and healing.
Information and permission.
Information and permission.
Deep joy.
Deep joy.
Freedom and justice.
Freedom and justice.
And laughter now.
And laughter now.
Okay. Then take a deep breath. Exhale. Feel that flow in. Okay. And we're going to say information transfer is now complete.
Information transfer now is complete.
So be it, it is done.
So be it, it is done.
And then we grab our wrist and say peace. And grab our other wrist and say peace again.
Peace. Peace.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that work for back pain. I've seen that work for finances. I've seen that work with all kinds of things. There's also switch words that you can look up. Switch words are amazingly powerful. There's all kinds of stuff. If anybody's having money problems now, they can say, count now, divine, now, somehow. And that seems to be a switch in their subconscious, in the universe, and money starts to flow to them better. It's incredible. Well, so there's a million different modalities. Find one that works for you. I really recommend Dane Hare's book. It was fun. I think it's simple. It's something just reading along, just listening to it, you'll feel things shift. So Look up Dane Hare online. You can find that, or Access Consciousness. Dr. Bradley Nelson, awesome, the Emotion Code and the Body Code. They now do one for finances, showing where you're abundance is, where you're stagnant, and where your lack is. It's all trapped in our bodies, places, and then when we clear those things, we align ourselves with the loving creative force that our Father has for us.
Yep, amen to that. Ted, did you have any final words?
Hey, thank you for having me be a part of the conversation. I really enjoyed it. Patricia, I have, I think I found your YouTube channel and subscribed to it, and I'm going to be looking forward to more of your content here. It was a pleasure to speak with you tonight, ma'am.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it too. We'll do this more often.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right. With that, I'm going to say thanks to both of you. Ted Midward here on EFR with the show I'm a Stranger in My Own Land, and of course Patricia Aiken from Nevada. Thank you both for being here, and Yahweh bless your hearts and keep up the great work, and we will surely do it again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh bless each and every one of you, and hallelujah.